We're going to finish up here today, but I hope you've been challenged by this 12-week study. We're going to wrap it up with a summary and practical application for those who are seeking to get married, for those of you that have been married, or maybe, you know, as you think about this, to help counsel people who are in those particular positions. We can also use these principles to better understand how men and women are wired, or really God designed, and as we interact with the opposite sex in so many life settings. As I said, when we started this particular series, I truly believe as you clue in on different things, there's something here for everyone. So with that, we'll just jump right into some slides here. I did ask you to come with the opportunity to provide some feedback, so we'll see how that goes. But we're really going to get into review and practical application. So just put a bow on everything we've studied for the last 12 weeks. But we're going to talk about avoiding the crazy cycle. We're going to talk about invoking the energizing cycle. And then lastly, motivated by the rewarding cycle. And so we're going to get into that. All right, so here is your opportunity to demonstrate you actually learned something this 12 weeks of Sunday school series. So what is the crazy cycle? Did we learn anything? Men, did we learn anything? Yes, Jack.
Men are not showing
love, and women aren't showing respect, and going back and forth, and we're reacting. Jack nailed it. When we don't show love, when we don't show respect, when we react, we get crazy. And it happens, even with good people. I didn't do it this morning, by the way, so that's good. Making progress. But without love, he reacts in, let's see, without love. All right, thank you. Without respect. Let me look at my notes here. Yeah, I need to pay attention to my notes. Thank you, Leanne. Without love, she responds in disrespectful ways. Without respect, he responds in disrespectful ways. So, you know, Jack said it. We then have this emotional response. We have this whirlwind of argument that really doesn't amount to anything when it comes down to it. But then we start to spin out of control and, you know, things just go into what he called the crazy cycle. So thank you. We got that. I needed a little help, as always. So how do we start the crazy cycle? So I think we talked about that a little bit. Emotion, reaction. How do we avoid it? And how do we stop it? How do we avoid it before it ever gets started? And how do you stop it? Isn't that, I mean, that's great, Caleb. Caleb said, assuming your wife is a goodwill person, assuming your husband is a goodwill person, and I would bet 9.9 times out of 10, that's it. We don't do what we do to the person we love with generally ill intent. So great, great point there, Caleb. What else? How do we start or maybe avoid? I think that would be a good tip to avoid the crazy cycle.
Scott says you can avoid it by going camping.
Yes, yes, going camping. Now, was that for him or you? Oh, okay. Well, hey, you found something you both enjoy. So, you know, do something together. I think that's a good one. Obviously, when you're in a setting like that, you kind of take the emotion level down. Ms. Clark. Think before you speak. Wow, isn't that a good piece of advice? Step back. Really wait before you speak. Yes, Mr. Nickel.
I don't know if this is avoiding it or stopping it, but
Yeah. Maggie, give him a gold star. You know, I mean, sometimes you just need to call it out. That felt unloving. That felt disrespectful. Try it. And then you get back to what Miss Clark said about, okay, maybe I ought to pause before I say the next thing. So good stuff. So a couple of practical tips there to avoid. Anything else? That was maybe even a stop, right? I mean, that would be like in the heat of the moment, Chase. Let's stop because we are on it. So that's good. Yes. Give him a gold star. Pause and ask a question, you know, a thoughtful, thought-provoking question. You know, maybe I misunderstood something here. I mean, what a great way to kind of diffuse a situation, Keegan. Doug? Okay.
I have an idea.
Okay.
Your question was how to stay off the crazy.
Yes, sir.
Chocolate.
Miss Jean needs chocolate every morning from Doug, I'm sure. So, but, you know, little things, Doug, I mean, really, little things that you don't think matter that are important to her, absolutely, that's a great way to kind of keep you in a great standing with your spouse.
Well, she told me she can't eat flowers.
Flowers don't taste good. They smell good. All right, any other practical tips? You seem like you got the concept. All right, we got to remember, we're self-serving, self-loving, emotional, sinful beings, and Pastor pointed that out today. We know how to love ourselves, and when we love ourselves and we're self-loving, it can be destructive. It can put us in a bad spot. This kind of goes back to what Caleb said, you know, recognizing your wife has goodwill or your husband has goodwill. Oftentimes, when we get into this crazy cycle, we believe we're right. And therefore, if I'm right, Julie's got to be wrong. Now, that's not a fair assessment oftentimes. We're just not considering the other person's perspective or intentions or what they're really trying to get across to us. Oftentimes, you know, it is a cry to try something different, say something different. I'm trying to speak to you. You're just not listening. You're not listening the way I'm speaking to you. I think Miss Irene kind of talked about this, but, you know, watching your, wait before you speak, and then when you speak, watch your words and tone. Words and tone matter. The inflection of your voice matters. You can say the same thing with a different tone and get a different result. Just try it with your kids. I've got one that I can speak differently to, and she responds. Versus maybe the way my wife speaks to her. And it's just, it just diffuses the situation almost instantaneously, and you know it works. Oftentimes, you know, we use the words and tones that are comfortable for us, you know, the ones that either provide protection, you know, for what I believe and think or want to get done, or maybe they're just a proof point. I want to prove a point. But it really, we got to come back to logic. We got to come back to Bible. We got to come back to maybe saying it a different way to help truly invoke the change that we're looking for in our spouse. You guys talked about this a little bit, how to avoid getting on the crazy cycle. Number one, recognize it, like Chase said there, and then change your methods. You know, be more conscientious of. Again, our words and tone. I don't know about you, but I like change on my own terms. Anybody love change? I don't mind change. I really don't. But I want it to be on my own terms. So oftentimes that's the calibration I've got to think about is, you know, the other person's perspective or the bigger picture. Because our human nature is to react when we feel like we're being or put into a situation that's unsafe, uncomfortable, or maybe secure. And then you guys kind of hit this too on the stop part, but I love this particular piece. And this is, you know, again, I'll come back to Chase here who has a gold star. Be the more mature one. Remember, you know, just step out and say what you believe needs to be said the right way, and try to shut that crazy cycle down. But be the more mature one to move first. That was kind of one of the tips that he gave us there. All right, so I want to shift gears here just a little bit. Here's some key scriptures that came from the Love and Respect series, as well as some of the biblical counseling that I participated in this year. And so this notion and really truth of God made two beings, male and female, that are perfectly suited for each other or one another. And a couple of these verses, you know, point out the fact that we're created distinct, male and female. There is no other gender. It's male, it's female. It also talks about, and I love this, it's not good that man be alone. I mean, we are usually in trouble when we're alone, or get into trouble. And the Bible says that God created a helper fit for him. That's this perfectly suited piece of it. We have different roles and responsibilities that are ordained by God. We started as one, you know, so think about Adam, out of his rib, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. So we started as one, and then as we embark upon marriage, we leave and cleave. And we, you know, we come back as one flesh. We also bear God's image equally. You know, God looks at male and female equally in the spiritual nature. You know, if we're saved, and this is something I think I introduced to you last week, you know, if we're saved and we're in a marriage relationship where we're equally yoked, but we're progressive sanctification partners. Obviously, we're accountable individually, but we are working together to be everything we can be for the Lord as he is progressively sanctifying us. And we can help each other in that regard. I really even like what Paul penned to the churches of, I think it was Galatians and Ephesus, and even spoke of Timothy in this regard. They were partners seeking the furtherance of the gospel, but they were living out the mind of Christ. And that's what we ought to be doing with our spouse, is seeking, pursuing the mind of Christ. When we do that, obviously lots of things fall into place in a good way. So those scriptures there in Genesis are some really good calibrations there. This is something else I really like from Emerson's series. And, you know, he talked about our true audience is Christ. And, you know, he used even in the context of respectfully, and I think this is really important, respectfully, our spouse and others are irrelevant. Now, what he means by that is you're accountable to the Lord, and you get that right, the other things kind of fall into place, your other relationships fall into place. But our true audience is Christ. And so this notion of being grounded and commanded to do life in the unto the Lord. So that's our choices, that's our attitudes, that's our actions. And some of these verses here really kind of speak to the truths therein of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15 says, your labor is never in vain in the Lord. And I know many of you who have put in the time, you've seen it. You know that your labor is not in vain, but just wait. Just wait till you get to heaven to see the benefits of that as well. Colossians 3 says, whatever you do, work heartily unto the Lord and not for men. It is not for men that we do what we do. Here at this church, here in the community, here at work, in the home. Again, our audience is Christ. And that goes on to say, you will receive an inheritance of and reward. You are serving Christ. Couldn't be more plain than that. Galatians 6, you know, kind of puts a capstone on it, which says, don't go grow weary in doing good. And it is easy when you're not appreciated, when people just don't do a common courtesy of saying thank you, to grow weary in doing good. But the Bible says, do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap. Do not give up. If we do not give up is how that verse ends. So really, you know, abiding in Christ is kind of The next piece that I guess I'd like to share with you, this came from some biblical counseling, but John 15, 10 and 11 says this, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken," Julie, I may need glasses, "unto you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." The joy of Christ. I don't know about you, but I want that. This notion of abiding in Christ is back to seeking the mind of Christ, and that's renewing it daily through his word. And then not forgetting that you've got a sanctification partner in the process. You're accountable for your sanctification, or you're accountable for pursuing your sanctification. God will obviously do it. And remember, you got a partner in this with your spouse. The joy of Christ, again, I want it to be full in my life. I want it to be full in your life. That's why we do what is commanded in God's word, is so that my joy, Christ, may be full in you. And ultimately, that's what we're working toward, or should be working toward. So we're going to wrap up with the what, the how, and the why to obey Christ, to have more satisfying and spiritually fulfilling marriages. You know, this notion of the joy of Christ. This, again, coming from some of the biblical counseling that we did on marriage and husbands and wives' roles. And so I was, you know, actually going through this about the same time I was studying for this particular series. And so I was just so energized by the fact that these are disconnected but very connected types of things, because they're grounded in the Bible. So, you know, listen to the undertones for love and respect here. So this is understanding God's design and expectations for women. So think about the joy of Christ and bringing glory to God by completing your husband, following your husband's leadership, ding, 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 respecting your husband, and then impacting your husband. Again, very strong undertones here from what we know from God's word. So let's think about helping and completing him. So being the honorable helper, and men, you know it, we need a lot of help. I mean, let's be honest, we need a lot of help. I couldn't do what I do without Julie. I don't know if it's the same way around, but I know I couldn't do what I do without Julie. We need a lot of help, and God put them in our lives to be helpers. And so there is a helping nature of women with the power and guidance from God. And we should really delight in completing a person who is not complete without you. And I know my wife does that, and yet I need to be in tune with that as well. But I'm so thankful that women were put in place to complete us as men in the marriage relationship. Following his leadership. God is not a God of chaos. He's a God of order. And he put someone in place and accountable for leadership of the home. He ordained the man. And we can't take that responsibility lightly as men. And yet, you know, with us leading, that means someone's got to submit. And submission must be a voluntary trust that we do what's right, and we leave the rest to the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that, as we saw even in this series, that you know, just blindly follow. We should properly, respectfully question leadership when you believe it's misaligned with God, and that includes the spouse. I mean, they have the right to question and challenge our leadership in the right way, respectful way, because remember, even like us, we are to obey God rather than men, and that includes husbands. So hopefully the man takes the responsibility seriously to lead, but at the end of the day, you're in it together, and he is accountable for that leadership. You know, I think we all struggle with submission, but it's got to be a way of life with every believer. I mean, we're ultimately submitting to Christ, but submission reveals the character and nature of your spiritual maturity. It also reveals your love for God when you think about submitting to God. And it kind of even reveals if you're filled with the Spirit, as it says in Ephesians 5:18. And then ultimately reveals the view you have of Christ's authority. So think about us as individuals all submitting to Christ, and as God designed, women submitting to men, women working with men to obviously be what God has called us to be as a functional, orderly marriage. Respecting the husband. So Ephesians 5:33, respect starts in the heart. It's a mindset. It's an action. Whether you're submitting to your husband, to Christ, you want to have a godly attitude towards your husband. It starts with God honoring and effective communication. Speak the truth in love. Oftentimes hard, but that's what we should be doing. Sometimes we focus on one or the other, and that goes true with both men and women. But choose your words and tone wisely. Don't fight with emotion. Don't fight with pride. You will lose the battle. Be humble, respectful, gracious in your approach. Edify when they're failing. Pray for your husband daily. And it goes the same for wives. Pray for your wife daily. So respecting your husband. And then the last part is impacting your husband. This is 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. Submit to God's command. And let him use you to impact others. You know, be an instrument or a vessel. Oftentimes that God just uses instruments and vessels to impact people, to make a difference, if we're willing to be the vessel that God has called us to be. And then God will use and reward you for pursuing godliness. And lastly, I guess, as I think about impacting your husband, focus on being a Proverbs 31 kind of woman. So those are just some other insights on understanding God's design and expectations for women. But again, you can kind of see the undertones there, love and respect. So completing your husband, following your husband's leadership, respecting your husband, and then, of course, impacting your husband. Okay, men, same deal here. And I really like this as a man because I think it hits on what we must do to honor God, most importantly, and to lead in the home and to do it the right way. So the same joy of bringing glory to God by learning about and honoring your wife, leading your wife, and loving your wife. That last part, loving your wife, one that we've got to really work on. Learning about and honoring her, 1 Peter 3:7 says, you know, live with your wives in an understanding way. And I think as we ponder that particular verse, my challenge to you is how much effort do you put in learning about your wife? I don't care whether you've been married a month or married 50 years. You think you know everything about your wife? Andy, you know everything about Marcia? That's actually right. I mean, it's a lifelong process. You know, what does she like? What does she not like? What is changing? Sometimes ever-changing. But, you know, we should be really continually learning about her needs, her capabilities, her limitations, and trying to figure out how we can partner with our spouse in that particular area. So men, think about learning and honoring your wife. It's not just learning, but honoring your wife. Leading your wife. There's lots of verses here that speak to this, but God gave man the leadership, as we talked about earlier. You know, he created Adam first. And he created Adam and us as men to be the leader of the home, the head of the wife. The leader, not the dictator. Dictators don't last. They don't work. And that's where this kind of shared servant leadership occurs in the home, or should occur in the home. Now, we have to recognize that we as men will stand before the Lord, and we are accountable for the decisions and the outcome of how we led our homes. And so that's leading, protecting, providing for your wife and family. It truly is servant leadership, like Christ. Think about leadership like Christ, servant leadership. It works in the workplace. It's effective in the workplace. Dictatorships come and go. People do not follow dictators. They do what they have to do until that moment that they can break free, or they get another job, or they get let go, or whatever. People follow servant leaders through brick walls, and that's what we must be as men in the home. So you're leading your wife. Your challenge needs to be, are you leading your wife and family more closer or further apart to the Lord? And so that's a challenge that we leave with ourselves there. All right, loving your wife. This is one that we've got to work at as men because it's not natural, as we heard in Love and Respect. But, love your wife as you love yourself. You know, that's the perspective that we need to have because we love ourselves. We're self-loving individuals. But then it goes on to say in Ephesians 5, 25 through 33, as Christ loved the church. And that's the one that we ought to be modeling after and patterning our life after is Christ. And so love your neighbor as yourself. Oftentimes we tend to love, sometimes we can love our neighbor and not love our wife or our family. Family's hard to love sometimes. But we ought to love our family first, love within, to be able to love without. So love God, love your family, love your neighbor as yourself. And it's a choice. It's an action. It's a sacrifice. It's this consistency that we see in 1 Corinthians 13:8, which is love never fails. When you do it right, love never fails. And we got to have God's will or God's help to do it and to do it well, particularly as men, because we are not great at it. We may say it, but we fail to demonstrate it and do it. We also have to remember that we are to love our wife in spite of their faults, or really everyone in spite of their faults. You know, Christ's example, Romans 5:8, was he died for us while we were yet sinners. And Pastor even spoke about this morning. He said, don't wait for people to earn it. You know, meet them where they are. Love them where they are. Don't love the sin, love the individual, and then let God do the work and change them. And that was kind of what Emerson said, you know, love regardless of her performance. We know we need grace to do it. When we do it, God is glorified. Our wife is cherished or loved. We lead together. We're oftentimes more aligned because we've got that alignment in certain areas. We've earned respect. We've got credibility, appreciation, and we're making just a positive impact. So, men, I even like the bonus here, which is learn, lead, and then, of course, love. So, just a couple of other bonus pieces from some biblical training. Okay, we're going to talk just quickly about this, but this was, I guess this would be the energizing cycle. And so as we think about the inverse of the crazy, this is the energizing cycle. So her respect motivates his love. His love motivates her respect. Irregardless of their performance, that's what we're doing unto the Lord. And we ultimately see results as a result. So this is the how you do it, and this is really the challenge to change our methods. You know, changing something that feels uncomfortable or even maybe more for men's sake is unnecessary. You know, I just don't feel like that's necessary to do X. We've been married for 29 years. I don't know that I really need to do that. Yeah, you really need to do that. So change your methods. Think about what is uncomfortable and maybe sometimes even unnecessary from your perspective. So we're going to highlight some of the most impactful, unforgotten tactics. So couple. Let's just hit a couple here. Let's hit a few here. So as we think about this in your appendix, there's some that are really good. Hold my hand. Hug me. Be affectionate. I don't care if you've been married 50 years. Do it. If you hadn't done it in a long time, try it. They may actually step back a minute. And then without other intentions. Oftentimes that is the most impactful for a woman. Share your feelings, Ralph, with Linda sometime. Oftentimes when we've had a long day, even if it is, you know, working, golf course, whatever, I've used all my words. I didn't have that many to start with. You know, so, but share your feelings. Tell about your day and your challenges. And then do it without harshness, guardedness, and grunting. We can do that a lot. And it's just not effective. It's not effective at work. It's not effective at home. So that's the openness. Understanding. Listen to me. And what we've learned and what I know, if I'm not looking at Julie, sometimes she doesn't think I'm listening. I'm listening. It just, that's how I listen. But when I'm looking at Julie, she knows I'm listening. So try that as well if you haven't done that. I don't do this very often, but I think it's good. Repeat back what you said so I know you're listening. You know, it's almost like, you know, by the face mask. You know, we need to be grabbed by the face mask sometimes as men. But that's the understanding piece of that. Peacemaking, admit you're wrong and apologize. Humility goes a long way in marriage. And don't ever say forget it. That's cancer. Don't just forget it. No, how about you be a man and actually talk about what's going on and why. And then pray together after a hurtful time. Boy, you talk about putting things in perspective and getting right back on the energizing cycle. That's something that's really important. Loyalty. This is something men have a tough time with. Don't look at other women. Your natural tendency, and so is mine, is to look. And it is all around you, and we need to have loyalty to our spouse, not just in our actions, of course, but I'm talking about physical actions, but our mental and visual actions. And so guard your mind, men. It is so hard, but we have to guard our mind because our spouse is who we're loyal to. And speak only positive things about her before family and friends. You know, that is very important. Always wear your wedding ring. And men, if you tell me you can't wear one, these silicone rings, even at work, they'll tear off and they're $30. You know, wear a wedding ring. Just do it. I mean, it's important to show the world that you are married and maybe have the opportunity to talk about your spouse or to fend off, you know, somebody who is looking at you in a different way. Esteem, last part, is verbally support and honor your wife in front of your family and children. Praise them for what they do. And then the last part is value their opinion. I mean, remember, you are co-laborers in the Lord. You are accountable for decisions, but don't just make dictatorial-type decisions in the home. Work with your spouse to be a joint heir and alignment in the responsibility of leadership. Okay, good stuff there. I'm going to keep us moving. Chairs. So a couple of things there I would say is, you know, and this is going to come across maybe as, you know, a bit narcissistic, but conquest. I mean, just tell us thanks every once in a while for just going to work. And I don't really want Julie asking me about my dreams, but sometimes that's a motivator for men. It's not for me, but a thanks is great. So that's something to think about in the space of conquest. We like to be able to accomplish things and know we've accomplished things. Praise my commitment to provide for you and the family. That's a key thing. Honor authority. Honor my authority in front of the children. And then a big one here, only differ with me in private. That's a great way to just ensure you have that conversation that need to be had, but do it in private. Insight. This is a big one for me anyway. Let me fix things sometimes. That's what men do. We like to fix things and move on. But it's really important oftentimes because remember the other side, the flip side of that, sometimes women just need to talk about things. And so do you need me to listen or you need me to solve it? When you know that up front, you can avoid an argument oftentimes because sometimes women don't want you to solve it. I just want you to listen to me and talk about it. And so we just need to make sure we understand that. But I guess with that in mind, women, let us fix some things sometimes, you know, just so we can move on mentally because that's how we operate. Relationship, tell me you like me every once in a while. Tell the men you love them, like them. Both of those don't necessarily work hand in hand. do recreational activities with me, just be with me, encourage us to have alone time. And then, you know, when we're together, you don't have to talk all the time. It's okay. We can just be shoulder to shoulder. Remember that that piece. And then sexuality, you know, just acknowledge, respond, and realize the other part is men have temptations that you just don't know or don't have. And so sometimes we need to be honest about that and talk about that and work through that. I guess my challenge to you is you should know the most important motivators that energize your spouse. Just pick two or three, one or two, if nothing else, and try something new and different. All right, last thing we'll wrap up with here is the why we should do what we do. And we'll open this up for some questions or for some comments real quickly because it's really important. What is your most powerful motivation to live out your marriage unto the Lord? So, again, I want to hear we learn something in this series. So I've got a laundry list, but I want to hear from you. What is the most powerful motivation to live out your marriage unto the Lord? Keegan. He gets 3 gold stars. Say that again.
Honor God.
Set an example for my kids.
And build a marriage that actually lasts and grows stronger.
Build a sustainable marriage that lasts and grows. Ding, ding, ding. And Keegan's doing that. And I appreciate that. And I know Bree does as well. So thank you, Keegan. Anybody else? I can't look at Keegan anymore. God's word is powerful. It works. Yes, Andy.
Well, a few years ago, we made a promise to the Lord.
Yeah, a few. Destos part before the Lord.
Yeah.
It's a marriage covenant, one flesh forever.
Right.
Yeah.
And so far, we're still about that.
That's right. Yeah, your marriage is unto the Lord. In fact, we need to bring marriage front and center to Andy's point. It needs to be front and center, pursuing, promoting the mind of Christ with Marcia. You know, that's what Andy should be doing, that's what I should be doing. You know, with our wives, with our kids, you start there, you make a tremendous impact. So thank you for that. What else? Yes, Mel.
One thing that was very exciting as well as a motivation for me was when Brian set up for my birthday to renew our vows.
So they're newlyweds. That's how it should be, though. Good job, Brian. Gold star. All kinds of gold stars today. How many years you've been married, Mel?
41 now.
41. 41 years. They ought to be newlyweds. Till the Lord calls them home. Scott. Grace, peace, love, and mercy. Praying for your spouse, praying for your marriage, being proactive in that area. Satan wants you to do it when you get into trouble, not before you get to that point. So thanks for that, Scott. All right, let me fill in some gaps and we'll close out. Very good stuff here. Positively, I want to positively impact my spouse. That kind of comes back to what Andy said. You know, keeping God front and center, you know, living as a sanctification partner, both pursuing the mind of God. You know, I think this encapsulates what Keegan had to say and Scott as well, bringing honor and glory to the Lord in this life while I have time. Make an impact while you've got time in this life. Help those that are struggling in marriage. We've all had our times, I'm sure, in marriage if you've been married very long, God uses those opportunities to help other people. And don't miss the opportunity to help someone else who's struggling in marriage. And this, again, kind of speaks to what Keegan was talking about. You know, make a lasting impact on my home, and I would say even beyond my home. My children's home, my grandchildren's home, you truly can have that kind of impact, you know, experiencing the true joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are not going to do this perfectly. In fact, I'll speak of me. Some days I won't even do it well. I mean, I'm going to do it very poorly. But by God's grace and enablement, as I abide in Him, and that's, you know, He that began a good work in me that's is going to complete it. If I pursue that daily renewal, He will make me a positive and lasting impact in this life. And that's what we ought to be working toward. So I hope you enjoyed the series. I hope you're challenged by the series and commit to do something different each day to be more like Christ, pursuing the mind of Christ. And God knows, as we see in His Word, repetition. We need repetition. We need accountability. And so that would be my challenge to you. All right, sorry we went over, but thank you for your time and attention. Next week we got Seth Stokes, our missionary to Vanuatu. And the following week I think we've got Don starting a series, and James and Courtney as well. So there'll be some more information on that. But thank you for participating in this Love and Respect series. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to celebrate our mothers. Thank you for each and every one who participated faithfully in this Sunday school series. I pray, Lord, you'd help us just to take the principles we've learned and to do the hard work and apply them. I pray that you'd help us to have effective relationships with you, effective marriages, that would just permeate through all the other interactions in life that you give us so that we can honor you and glorify you. Pray that you just give us a good time this afternoon with our families, with our mothers. Thank you for everything you do for us as we start this new week. Help us to honor you in all we do and say, for we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.